Welcome to the 5511 Podcast, inspiring stories of God's power being poured out globally in the lives of ordinary people. Hosted by Dirk Smith, Peyton Armstrong, and Brooke Kell, this podcast is supported by EEM. EEM publishes, prints, and distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in 30-plus nations and in 20-plus languages, free to all. Well, welcome to 5511 Podcast once again, and we're excited to have you back with us again. I'm Dirk Smith, and I've got Brooke Kell and Peyton Armstrong, and special guest this morning, Bart Rabinsky, all the way from Vienna, Austria. So we're looking forward to this conversation.
I have the pleasure of introducing Bart today. So Bart is a native of Warsaw, Poland, and has been serving with EEM as a vice president for European operations since 2007. He read the Bible for the first time at the age of 17 when he was an exchange student with a Christian host family in Oxford, Ohio. He became a Christian in 1995 and graduated with a bachelor's degree in business management in 1997 in Warsaw. During his studies, he worked as a project manager in the budding IT industry in Poland. Through many experiences, God led him to Oklahoma Christian University, where he earned a bachelor's degree in biblical studies and a marketing and a master's degree in ministry. During that time, he served as a single adults minister at Memorial Road Church of Christ in Edmond, Oklahoma, and he was involved in short-term mission work in Europe and Central America. Bart is married to Tamika Rabinsky, and together they have three children. Bart enjoys skiing, hiking, traveling, reading, and spending time with his family. We're so excited to have you with us today, Bart.
It's great to be with you guys. Thank you for the invitation.
It's a pleasure to see you. Looking forward to seeing you face-to-face here in a short period of time.
Yeah, I can't wait.
On top of all that, my dear friend, and so for our listening audience, kind of give a background, if you would. Just, man, how'd you go from... I mean, you read that bio. I know it's always fun when somebody reads your bio. You're sitting there going, yeah, okay. Yeah. How'd you get from IT industry to full-time church work and then to EEM? How'd you get here?
Yeah, well, it's God, but different steps. There were just different people throughout my story that had tremendous impact on me. I went to college in Poland after spending about a year in the U.S. and being introduced to the Bible for the first time, just fully focused on getting into business world. Both my parents were at the time in the business world. There was a lot of opportunities in the IT. I was kind of one of the first few thousand people in Poland that were on the internet and email and everything. So I felt like, that was kind of my future. But then through various experiences and connecting with the local Church of Christ in Warsaw, just God called me to kind of, first of all, get more serious about my faith. And so I gave my life to him and was baptized there in 1995. And then through the missionaries who were working there, I got involved more in mission work and work of the church. And then in that time, there were very many campaigns coming to Europe from the U.S., from different colleges. So I got to know some of the college students and so got connected with Oklahoma Christian. A few years forward, I went to OC, started studying Bible, fully intending on going back to Poland, tried a few times to make my way to mission field. And every time I kind of had the, Paul experience where very clearly it was a no, don't go there, go somewhere else. And so I stayed in Oklahoma for about almost, 10 years, which is way longer than I intended to. Made some very good friends, loved my experience there, was given a wonderful opportunity to be at Memorial Road Church of Christ, kind of build the singles ministry from ground zero. But again, the preparation was to maybe eventually go to Poland. And we started putting together a team to go to Warsaw. We had kind of everything running, and then a few things happened. We had a failed pregnancy. We lost a child. My wife ended up having cancer, and we had to deal with that. And then we went on a survey trip. Even with all that happening, we went on a survey trip to Warsaw. And literally, as we got back to Oklahoma City at the airport, all two out of three couples that were planning to go with us said, no, we don't like Poland. We're not going to go there, which was, you know, coming from Poland, that was crushing for me. So I was pretty burnt out on ministry and decided I'm going to go back to business and start interviewing for jobs in Denver, Colorado. That's where my wife is from. And in fact, I just went ahead and turned in my resignation with Memorial Road. I didn't have a job yet, but I you know, was confident God will allow me to find it. And then I was in my office packing at the church, and I spent some time praying. And I said, you know, God, I have these three different opportunities in business. Help me decide which one I should take so that I can still continue to have most impact for your kingdom, even though I'm out of full-time ministry. That was very important to me. And 20 minutes after that prayer, I got a call from Mike Armour, who was the president of EEM at the time, saying, hey, would you like to interview for the job of vice president of European operations? Now, to make things funny, you know, this is my brain sometimes is really slow. I told Mike, no, Mike, you know, it's too late kind of process. I'm already, you know, we had a moving truck scheduled to go to Colorado. We turned off our utilities. I mean, you know, everything was kind of that direction. And it was on the drive from the church to my house that my brain finally made a connection between the prayer and the call. And I said, because that's not how, you know, God usually works in my life. So I was just, and I remember my first feeling was I got really mad at God, because I said, God, you know, when I pray that, I meant in Colorado, you know, when in Denver, yeah, where we have friends and not a different country.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
Yeah. And
come on,
you guys know, you guys know my wife, you know, she's a lot godlier and in tune with the spirit than me. So when I told her about this, she just looked at me and said, you're going to take it, right? And I said, well, I told him no. And she was just besides herself. So we called Mike back and said, well, we're going to interview. So the funny thing is, when we go back to Oklahoma to this day, people ask us, so, you know, how is Poland? I said, no, we're not in Poland. Well, oh yeah, how is Colorado? No, we're not in Colorado. they're just confused, because we had, you know, few turns there. But anyways, that's how I end up here, and what a blessing. I mean, it's been just a great blessing to be with EEM in this position.
Yeah, that's I've heard that story before. It's always good to hear it, and it always reminds me just how God works, man. I mean, and how we all are. I mean, we're all the same way. We're like, nope, God, that's not what I had in mind. What are you doing? I'm answer my prayer, would you? You know, what are you doing? So obviously your role is vice president. What does that mean? I mean, you're VP of European operations. What's kind of your responsibilities there in Vienna?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's really broad, but basically in a nutshell, I lead our European team to execute our mission and strategy in Europe. And it's kind of two part. Number one, you know, big part of it is listening and looking for opportunities, trying to form partnerships and just see what's needed. You know, we are so European focused. And so that's a big part of us going to events and, you know, just being in touch with what God is doing, what God is up to in this part of the world. And then the other part is, you know, just the logistics of production, publishing, delivery. I do quite a bit with quality control and project management on our publishing projects, leading our or helping our publishing team, and then, you know, just kind of overseeing the distribution part as well, and then, you know, financial reporting, all that good stuff that comes with operations. So I do a lot of, especially now as our team is bigger, a lot more operation, a lot less promotion and connecting directly, it's been a great ride so far.
Thanks, yeah. Bart. So that kind of leads to our next question: is how has your work with EEM changed with the needs and nature of requests today from when you started in 2007?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say the number one difference is that we are much more aware now of the need for the Bible in Europe and just many opportunities where God's word, printed God's word especially, is still useful and needed and requested. You know, in 2007, we were very much a ministry in transition. We were just transitioning out from being very US-driven. And by that, I mean in the period from the fall of communism to late 90s, most of what EM did was driven by groups coming from the US and going to Eastern Europe. And so we developed a lot of materials and processes that were geared towards that. Now that kind of dried out in the late 90s. And so we were making another strategic shift, but we didn't really have as many contacts in Europe yet at that point. So we were just not aware. You know, there were some years where I really wondered, man, how much longer will this ministry go? You know, there's not new requests. But as we started knocking and looking, you know, man, how wrong we were, you know, there was just a depth of need that we discovered. So that's number one. I think now there are also fewer ministries like EEM that are still providing printed God's word for free in Europe. A lot of ministries that were like ours had pulled back or switched to electronic resources. And I think that's fantastic. There is a huge need for electronic resources as well. We're also trying to do some of that. But man, the need for printed God's word is still very much paramount. I would say quality expectations have changed from the people that we work with. You know, Europe, as it develops and standards of living increase, improve, also expectations of quality. You know, we what we produce now is much higher quality than 15 years ago, and it takes a lot more effort to provide that. And then everything is on much larger scale. You know, we used to deal with orders of a few hundred copies, and now we're dealing with orders of sometimes hundreds of thousands of copies. And in some ways it's all the same, but in many ways it's much more complicated, a lot more moving pieces, so complexity of it. But you know, at a core, we still want to give Bible to people, and you know, that hasn't changed.
Bart, can you share any recent or notable stories of God's provision for your work with EEM?
Yeah, I, you know, it's funny because there's so many different ways that, that God in both little and large ways provides. I think the one that probably right now is the most on my heart, something that happened last year. So in January of last year, our landlord here in Vienna came to us and said, you know, the company that's on your floor in the office next to you is moving out. They're breaking their lease. And I want to give you basically, you know, right of first refusal if you would like this space or not. And, you know, we thought, well, you know, we don't have immediate plans to expand our team here in Vienna. Not sure if we need it, but he said, you know, if you don't take it now, it could be another 10 years before this will be available, because I signed, you know, 5 to 10 year leases. And we thought, well, you know, that's a good point. So I talked to Dirk and Bob, and kind of, you know, we didn't really budget for it, but I said, guys, it would be good to get this space while we can. And you know, credit to them. They said, yeah, let's go ahead. And so we did that. And literally 2 months later, the war in Ukraine breaks out, and we evacuate our team from Kyiv here. You know, things are moving quickly. And, you know, if we had not had this space here, it would have just been really difficult for us. I mean, it would be crammed, it would be difficult for us to carry out our operations, but it was just as if God prepared that for them. You know, God, wow. God knew that something bad is going to happen, and we need to provide comfortable space for these wonderful people, and not only for them, but through their work, you know, serve hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians with the humanitarian aid that this team now coordinates and continues to distribute Bibles. So, you know, this was something that just kind of was, again, chilling, that how God knew in advance, you know, what we'll need before we did. So that's probably the most recent on my mind. You know, another thing is you know, over the years, sometimes you build relationships with other organizations, build partnerships, and you don't always know when that will come in handy, when you will need to call on that. And, you know, I just remember those first days of war, I think it was 25th or 26th of February, we got on a call with Biblica and several others, our partners. And just in one meeting, you know, we decided kind of a whole plan for printing resources for Ukrainian refugees, and just this partnership and this open hearts and trust level that we've developed. Again, you know, God provided all that. So very quickly we were able to respond to that. So, you know, that's kind of fresh because that's still very much reality for us, that the war and dealing with the consequences of that. So praise God for his wisdom.
Yeah, man, I tell you, I love those stories, and I love watching God move like that when you don't know, you know, when we pray, as you know, Bart will attest to, we pray about these things like the office space when you pray about it, and then you get this, I can remember when that came about, it was just like this comforting feeling of, well, yeah, I mean, we got to do this. I mean, this is opportunity, having no idea, but God did. God knew exactly. I mean, and he orchestrated the whole thing. And we see that. It's fun being a part of this ministry. We get to have a front row seat and really watch him move, where we just step back and say, man, this isn't us. This is not about us at all. None of it. Great, great stories. I know you're like me, and I mean, I could give my reasons for this, but, you know, I tell people for the first time, I don't have a job, you know. So for you, what's the real driving? Tell me the passion within you to say, man, I got to be a part of this. I got to be a part of God's ministry to provide God, his word to people who don't have it.
Well, you know, initially, my friends in college teased me when I was getting a degree in Bible and marketing. They said, you know, you'll make a great Bible salesman. You know, that's a perfect combination. but you know, the initial attraction to EM was really just, kind of the journey I shared. And you know, when Mike shared with me, hey, this is what we look for. You know, we want Eastern European who speaks some Eastern European languages, who has experience with that, but also who's got experience with churches in America and understands that culture and can communicate and do that. And, you know, and has a degree in Bible, but also has some business experience. I didn't have a lot, but I had some, and I was like, wow, you know, this is perfect. So initially it was just seemed like a great fit with what I hope to do, and I wanted to be involved in God's work in Europe, just in some capacity. But really now, you know, the more I'm with EM, as the years pass, this fire just continues to burn deeper. Because I mean, just look around us. You know, look at what's mm-hmm. happening. The tragedies and the division that you know we're driven. And I know, you know, you guys are aware of it. A lot of it is on purpose. You know, the media, they want to get clicks, they want to get views. And so they create this sense that we all feel like, you know, we're against each other, you know, we're each other's throats, and there's things that divide us. And I know anytime when I listen to that instead of God's word, it changes me. And I start believing that, you know, and I start acting and feeling that way, you know, and yet when you get into God's word, you know, especially starting words of Jesus, man, that was not his heart at all. You know, he calls us to being radically inclusive and loving and kind, and, you know, turn the other cheek. And I mean, yes, we need to be strong in our faith and sure of our beliefs, but there is meekness with that's completely opposite of what, you know, media and social media puts us. So for me, you know, I know if I don't have that in my life, how it affects me. And you know, I mourn for the people that never have a chance to read from God's word because they were not asked to, or they don't have God's word. So for me, the passion is, you know, we want to bring unity to this world. We want to bring love, and I don't know a better source than God's word and hope. Mm-hmm. You know, right now in Ukraine, what we see is hope that's so much needed. The people that are asking for Bibles in Ukraine, man, you know, we're blessed not to be in a position where so much hope is needed, and yet we all do need help. You know, we all on some level need that. So it just kind of cross section of what I see in the world, and then my personal experience when I don't, you know, when I kind of slack on my Bible reading or go through a period where, you know, God's word is not as big of a part of my life on a daily basis. Man, I suffer, and I don't want people to suffer. I want people to have access to that.
Man, amen. Amen. You just, you know, this doing without God experiment, you know, kind of look around. How's that working for us? I mean, look around at this culture and think, yeah, boy, this is this is what we want. This is great. And man, as you've said, the divisiveness, and I just always, man, I think of John 17, you know, Jesus's prayer, you know, is he's praying for that unity. And the beauty that I have seen, and I know you see this too over there, is where people are coming together, focused on getting God's word out, they are unified. We see this beautiful unity amongst groups that the world would say, you shouldn't be together. I mean, I'll never forget being in Greece, and Brooke, you may have been there when, I mean, we are seeing Shiite and Sunnis together studying God's word. And I'm like, man, world, do you see this? I mean, this is an ancient holy war right here. This goes back as far as we can. And what's the solution? Jesus. Jesus is the unifier. And that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, it's powerful. And I think you were speaking to this with Ukraine Aid and how everybody came together. We saw so many churches and organizations just spring forward, and you got to have a front row seat to all of that. We did too, via the stories and communication. But can you tell us a little bit more about how that has impacted you specifically with Ukraine Aid?
Yeah, one of the things that you know, at EEM, I think is our strength is we try to stay really focused on our mission of bringing God's word. You know, one of the challenges, I mean, it's a good challenge to have, but it's a challenge, you know, when you're in our position, there's so many good things that we become aware of, and people come to us where it's like, you know, how can we do it all? You know, and yet, despite just incredible generosity of our donors, you know, resources are always short. And so, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, man, what can we do? What do we need to say no to? And so then this war breaks out. And you know, of course, we're like, well, you know, we're not really a humanitarian organization. But again, it was one of those moments, and it was really moving for me personally, you know, impactful, just kind of our executive team and the board, just to come together very quickly and to say, you know, Ukraine was such a blessing to EM to be in Ukraine all these years. These people are amazing. I know, you know, both Dirk and Brooke, you guys have traveled, you know, Ukrainians, just wonderful, wonderful people. And, you know, the openness to God and the Bible there. And how can we now just say, you know, here is the book, but I hope you have something to eat, you know, somewhere else. I mean, we just couldn't do that. So, you know, this was very humbling and profound experience for me to realize that, you know, yes, mission is important, but ultimately people, you know, I mean, that's who God cares for. And in this moment, it was the right thing for EM to say, we're going to get involved in humanitarian aid. And that need continues. You know, it breaks my heart because right now, if I showed you, you know, I have 4 grant requests on my list that I need to approve. And, you know, we don't have money to say yes to everything. And yet these are people who are starving. Some of them will not have a roof over their heads. And, you know, these are not people that started this war. These are not people that are involved in politics. They're just suffering. And so it's, you know, it continues to affect all of us on a daily basis. Of course, the Ukrainian members of our team are a lot more deeply affected. You know, they're the ones that have to leave their homes. Their kids are, you know, struggling. It's not easy. Even if you want to move to another country, it's not easy to make that transition. If you're forced to do that, it's just an incredible, incredible challenge. And so, you know, our hearts cry with them. It's, you know, every day brings something new, but God is good. And through that, you know, in those moments, you see the worst and the best of humanity. And we definitely have seen the best of humanity, both within EM and outside through our partners and contacts. So, you know, we'll continue to praise his name even in this difficult time, but it's just been very profound experience, I think, on all of us And I do think even within our organization, there's a lot more unity through that experience than even before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has been painful. It really has been painful to watch. And I think my biggest frustration, and I know Brooke, Peyton, you guys may feel the same way. I've been really frustrated this year just with what sheep we are here in the United States. And so attuned with the media. So if the media doesn't talk about it, oh, the war must be over. It must be going great. I mean, you'd be shocked at how many visits I have with people and they say, well, I guess everything's good in Ukraine. I'm like, no. And you know, and the analogy I've given people, you know, whether here in Tennessee or I'm in Texas or I'm in Arkansas, I use the analogy, I say, imagine, I mean, it's hard for us to do as Americans, but imagine that Mexico is Russia. And they have just invaded Texas. And I mean, all that's happening in Ukraine is happening in Texas. And people are fleeing from southern Texas. They're moving to northern Texas and eastern Texas. And then they're pouring into Arkansas. They're coming into Tennessee. They're coming into Oklahoma. And we're hearing these stories firsthand. And it's right there. I mean, it's just, we've been there. That's not that far. Well, how would our lives be? I mean, what would our reaction be? Well, welcome to these surrounding nations and to the people that are stuck in Texas. And again, we've never, as you said, Bart, it's hard enough to move. I don't care if you're moving in the United States, just move, period. But let alone move to another country and then do it under duress and under fear. And you're just grabbing what you can and running for your life. I don't understand our humanity here in it not being on the headlines all the time and showing this is the pain of this thing. This is what's going on. So yeah, it has been. It's very painful. I always feel like, but again, as Bart said, we're limited by funds. I mean, we've gone out this year and asked people to help. You know, we've pushed for Ukraine aid. Haven't gotten the money like we did last year. It's not in the news. It's not in the headlines. And I mean, there have been great people who have stepped up and helped, mm-hmm. and we can see their hearts, but it's so very real for mm-hmm. the people there. And it's just, and I know they're settling into, we use this phraseology, new normal. You know, in some ways that kind of, I don't know, domesticates mm-hmm. what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes it's a new normal. No, it's pain. It's still pain.
Yeah. And you know, and even if the war were to stop today, you know, these homes are not going to rebuild themselves right away. You know, the people are not going to magically get their jobs back. The, you know, their relatives that they lost. I mean, there is a lot of trauma and physical need, humanitarian need that will continue. And you know, I'm just overwhelmed by the generosity of our supporters from, you know, last year and even this year. But yeah, I, you know, man, my biggest prayer is we need to continue to be generous. These people are suffering mm-hmm. and they didn't cause it. They're victims. And, you know, it's just money. You know, at the end of the day, all we're asked is to share money, you know, something that we can make again.
And it's not ours.
It's not ours in the first place. That's right.
Yeah, it's not ours. Speak a little bit, staying on that topic, speak a little bit of what you've seen and the Ukrainian team have seen as a result of this war mm-hmm. and the result of the, you know, the pain, the reality in people's hearts around, you know, from the request for Bibles. Not just, mm-hmm. I mean, Ukrainian language Bible requests to really other language requests.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, again, we kind of went into this thinking we're going to be providing funds to our partners in Ukraine who, you know the best what's needed, and that's going to be the extent of it. And you know, we did not really expect that our distribution of Bibles in Ukraine will really continue or do anything. But, you know, the most surprising thing in that is how often people who start with saying, hey, please feed me, please clothe me. The next request is, give me hope. I want God's word. It's overwhelming. The number of requests for Bibles in Ukraine last year, you know, I think increased 40% or more. I mean, it's just incredible. We literally could not keep the presses busy wow. long enough, you know, to fulfill the demand. I mean, it was just mind-blowing. Dasha, our director for Ukraine, I know she's been on the podcast, you know, she keeps coming to me and saying, hey, we need to reprint again. And I'm just like, already? We just wow. finished. And so it's overwhelming. And then the stories, you know, I know you guys read them, what we hear, you know, just people just saying how much that hope is needed. You know, we also do provide resources to help them at least have some way to process this trauma. I mean, you know, we're not experts on that in any way, but we do have God's word. It, I believe, does have, you know, the answers to all these problems. And so we have mm-hmm. some good partners that develop resources ahead of time, and we're able to put them in Ukrainian and Russian, and they're, you know, just being requested, and people are really benefiting from that. So again, you know, this was kind of really surprising to me, or at least, you know, I didn't think that far ahead, I guess, when we're deciding about the humanitarian aid, but it just led to a whole, just a bunch of new partnerships that we didn't have before, and very deep partnerships, because the partnerships, you know, one thing that we hear that people appreciate is, you know, EM is there for them. You know, we haven't fled, we haven't retreated, we are there. Mm-hmm. We have their back. And I think that it really describes our ministry and what we want to do well. So it's amazing.
Wow. Thanks yeah. for sharing all of that.
You're welcome.
Looking forward to this year, what is the project that you're most excited about fulfilling this year?
Well, I'm really excited about some of the new, I call them products, but, you know, new ways that we can bring God's word to people that we're working on. This is something that's been kind of cooking for last 2 or 3 years, but we are in the final stages of our young adult Bible that will be published as a series of books in a just beautiful design, trying to target that older teens, young 20s group in a very kind of simple, elegant way that they can read God's word. And so we have a couple of pilot programs or languages, Ukrainian and Czech, that we just started a translation, but it should be a fairly quick process. So I'm really excited about that. That's been, you know, many years of kind of going back and trying to figure out which direction exactly. Excited about that. We're also developing, you know, the Bible activity book, you know, we sometimes call it Bible coloring book. You know, it's such a simple thing, but you would be just absolutely amazed how it's used and how creative some of our partners are in using it. I mean, they're using them. They're going to communities like some of the Roma communities that are not very mm-hmm. literary. And, you know, through kids coloring books and then having simple Bible verses, they're teaching their parents to read, and they're teaching Bible to them. Yeah. You know, we get to go to public kindergartens with that. And we've had the current edition for several years. So right now we're kind of in the process of developing the artwork and having another edition. Yesterday we were kind of on a call with several different people from around Europe, and Lagarde Smith was on that call, and we talked about his daily reading Bible. Well, we're bringing that in Serbian and Romanian this year. So that's also something I'm excited about. It's a, you know, just a wonderful tool for people that, you know, sometimes if you open in Genesis and that you read straight through, it's difficult if you don't have somebody guiding you. But, you know, what he developed in the daily reading Bible, it's just so wonderful that people can open and kind of get the whole story. And so we want to bring it in more languages. So these are some of the things, you know. Of course, I think you guys have talked to Jura and others about the project in Macedonia. We're doing part mm-hmm. Two of that. You know, that's going to be wonderful. And I'm also excited because this is, you know, something, again, that's still in the development, but we're making really good connections in some of the republics of Central Asia, former Soviet republics of in Central Asia, some of the stans, as we say. So we've had work in Kazakhstan for many years now, but we are making good connections to in a couple other countries, also in Turkey. And, you know, we can't say too much on a public podcast mm-hmm. about this in detail, but we're excited. There is a hunger for God's word, especially for New Testaments. And we have some exciting requests that, you know, if not this year, most likely in 2024, we will mm-hmm. be able to provide. And, you know, there you're talking about a population that, you know, is completely without Christ. And in fact, it can be dangerous to profess Christ. So we want to serve those churches as well. So those are just some of the things. There's, you know, many more other things, but those are the probably things that I'm most excited about to see come to fruition.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff. I'll tell you, it's exciting.
And yeah. There's so much going on.
Yeah. I mean, I've learned, when we start praying for what God, you know, we want God to do that gives him glory, not about us, man, just sit back and watch the doors open up. All right. With the time we've got left, anything we can pray for you, Bart, New Open Doors for publishing team, or just anything that we can be praying, our audience can be praying for specifically?
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, number one is let's pray for peace in Ukraine.
Amen.
You know, Amen. There are God's people in Russia too, and many of them are suffering. We had recently a young man whose mom just contacted me through WhatsApp, through kind of a friend of a friend, and she just said, you know, my son is in college and has had some political discussions, and they're going to arrest him. So he's going to be in Vienna in 2 days. Can you find home for him? And, you know, and it's always kind of hard because we're full here. There's so many refugees, but we found him a place and, you know, he found a job and, you know, and there are people in Russia suffering too. And so both of these nations, I mean, especially for Ukraine, you know, their level of suffering is completely different, but, you know, I think we need to pray for both. So that's number one. And then specifically for our staff, you know, like I said, they're, you know, the newness of being in a new city kind of wore off. And now it's reality of I'm away from home. I miss it and I struggle. And so they need a lot of our support. Let's pray for the efforts in some of the countries and areas that I've mentioned in Central Asia, especially the ones that are not, don't have majority Christian or traditionally not Christian. You know, we it's a difficult work. I admire people that are willing to do it and their faith and courage. So let's pray for that. And, you know, kind of on my production operations side, I always throw in a prayer for open hearts of the Bible societies in Europe. We depend on them, their openness and generosity with translations to continue our work. And most of them are wonderful. Some of them, you know, they're worried about finances and how, you know, our work impacts their bottom line. And I just, you know, I just always pray that, you know, God gives them a heart of generosity and trust him, you know, just like we're taught to trust him. Let's pray for daily bread and, you know that God will provide. He always has and he continue to will. So those are my top three requests.
That's great. Anything you wish our audience knew or you were thinking?
Yeah, I will actually, if you guys will indulge me, I want to plug in something that my wife was a part of recently. So my wife is now a published author.
Yeah, shameless plug, go for it.
I'll have to do that. I promise her I'd do it. So she got together with two other ladies from the mission field and kind of going through her experience of moving to a different country. And, you know, sometimes in churches, especially if you're in a leadership position in ministry or church, you know, you kind of need to just put a good, you know, smiley face. And sometimes we don't have the language and the permission to lament the things you leave behind. And we always leave things behind, even when we move to, you know, exciting new place. And so that's been something on her heart for many years. And she got together with two other missionaries. They're from Southeast Asia, actually. So she's the only one European, and they wrote a book of liturgies and laments for the Sojourner. I don't know if you guys can see this. I just
Oh
have
yeah.
a copy that I just
Amazing.
ordered. And it's a book of prayers just to give people who are moving, not just missionaries, but anybody who's lost something, but especially people that move to a different country, the language to process what they're going through and to mourn what they lose, but also then, you know, get up and be appreciative of the new things that God gives them. So, you know, if you, those people that are listening would like to order a copy of the book, it's on Amazon. I know my wife would appreciate it. They're planning to, it's the first in a series of four. So they're going to be writing other things. It's something that just on their heart to bless the community of people who are in a similar situation.
So tell us the title again. It's on Amazon. They can get it on Amazon, and it is?
Yes. So the title is Liturgies and Laments for the Sojourner.
Yeah. And it is, and I'll put a plug. It's good. I've got the e-copy of it, and you know, and it's not just for the sojourner. It's good. It's a good reminder of lament, that is such a part of our Christian journey is lament. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to lament. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus told us, hey, in this life, you're going to have trouble, but remember, mm-hmm. I've overcome the world. But he cried. I mean, he, you know, that's the only, you know, that's for those of us that memorize, that's the one memory verse we all know. We can all do that when Jesus wept. But, you know, it shows us he gives us that license. We have to lament. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things in this life that are painful, and we lose people. We lose things. We lose relationships, you know, by moving. And those are some of the hardest, you know, when you lose those relationships or people that you're with on an ongoing basis. It's an excellent book. They've done a great job with it. So yeah, I will plug that as well, because I just don't think there's enough out there, honestly, about them. And we have Lamentations, but how often have you heard a sermon from Lamentations? I mean, you kind of go like, okay, we got Lamentations. Don't read that book. That's a downer. No, it's not. I mean, it's a reminder of God's, yeah, it's a reminder of God's provision and his love and how he cries with us. I mean, he hurts, absolutely hurts with us. So yeah, good, not a shameless. That's a good plug. People will be blessed. People will be blessed by getting that. So
yeah,
well, man,
thanks
for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation. Really looking forward to having you guys. Peyton, sorry that we won't see you, but we'll, till the next time, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, man. Have a great rest of your evening, and thanks for being with us.
It's great to be with you guys. Thank you.
Well, we have some sad but exciting news at the same time, because in the kingdom of God, one thing we realize is the kingdom is huge, and we are all here for a purpose, and God's going to use us. And so it's kind of bittersweet. We say goodbye to Peyton. Peyton is leaving EEM, but not leaving us. I mean, she's going to be around and we're going to see her, but she's leaving EEM, and very exciting. She's taking a children's minister position at her church, and it's a blessing for them, a blessing for those kids. So Peyton, we're sorry to see you go, but very, very excited, and know that this is such a spirit-led change for you, and so very excited about how you're going to serve the kingdom going forward. So, but we will miss you on the podcast and miss you at EEM.
Yes, likewise. Yeah. It's a bittersweet leaving of EEM. I'm so passionate about the work that we do, and I know that the Lord will continue to do this amazing work. And so it's sad to leave, but I'm really excited to see what's on the other side of this new door that he's, you know, nudging me into. And I'm excited to just use the gifts that he's given me to just remind people that the gospel's for kids too, and that they need God's word as well. And so if I can be a part of that in any small way, I'm going to be honored to do that at local church. So really sad, but really excited at the same time. So
yep, that's good.
I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for the year over a year that we've had together. And I'm thankful that we've been able to work closely together and develop mm-hmm. watch you develop a lot of things for our organization that are geared towards young adults and college students. And it's been amazing to watch you bring that into our organization. And you've left such a gift to us. You've been such a gift, mm-hmm. and you've left us prepared to reach more people. And I'm really excited about that. I'm also very sad. I've expressed that mm-hmm. many times, but I'm very sad, but so excited for you and really prayerful over this next step and this next season of your life. And I know we all are at EEM, really excited for you and Brandon in this new position.
Yeah, very much
so.
Thank
you.
Mm-hmm. So with that, this will be the last podcast we get to see your smiling face. Well, other people mm-hmm. get to see your smiling face too. But until next time, if you aren't already subscribed to the 5511 podcast, please do that. That way you'll be reminded and be given the alerts that a new episode is out. New episode will drop every first Tuesday of the month. Give us a rating, like us, share it, help spread the news about 5511. Hope you enjoyed this episode we did. So until next time, thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to the 5511 podcast, hosted by Dirk Smith, Peyton Armstrong, and Brooke Kell. It's edited by David Wilkinson. The 5511 podcast is supported by EEM. EEM publishes, prints, and distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in 30-plus nations and in 20-plus languages, free to all. To learn more about how you can partner with EEM, go to eem.org, and we'll leave a link for you in the show notes. We'd also love for you to rate, review, and subscribe. And of course, we'd really appreciate you telling your friends about us. So thanks for joining us. We'll be dropping a new episode the first Tuesday of every month.